Well, let's take out our Bibles today and let's get into the Word of God. I have been preaching on this subject, ignite. And we've been contending, believing for, asking God to ignite us in the power of the Holy Ghost. We've been believing for revival, an outpouring of the Spirit of God on our church and on us individually. So today, I'm going to continue this theme of ignite. Now, the last two services, I've been talking about the need for getting on fire in the fire of God. And Wednesday night, I'm going to go back to that again and talk about that fire, what it means, and how to do it. Today, though, I'm going to make this a little more practical in that I want to discuss how does that fire that we've been talking about manifest itself in the life of the believer? What's the initial manifestation? How do we know when we're on fire? I mean, do we just get excited? Do we just jump around in church? Do we fall on the floor? What is it that happens in the life of the believer when we're on fire? Now, this experience that I'm going to be talking about today is so important. Listen to what the prophets say about it. In Malachi chapter 3, and none of this is going to be on your screen yet. I'll get to my message in just a moment. Let me just give an introduction. Malachi chapter 3 talks about a forerunner who would come to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, this forerunner is none other than John the Baptist. The Bible describes him as a refiner's fire. This is somebody who have the anointing of fire on him, who's preparing the way of the Lord Jesus. Now, when you get over into Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3, Jesus, the Son of God, comes onto the scene. You have the birth, the record of the birth in Luke 1 and 2, and then his beginning of his ministry, the water baptism in Luke chapter 3, and then going into the wilderness, Luke chapter 4. When Jesus in Luke chapter 3 came down to be water baptized by John the Baptist, listen to what John the Baptist said about him. Jesus said, John, I need you to baptize me. John said, no, I want your baptism. Right there where you're at, I dare you to say this out loud. Say, I want your baptism. See, John knew that Jesus was going to bring an experience that he did not have under the old covenant. What experience was he talking about? He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Ghost coming into the life of the believer. So notice he said, I want to be baptized of your baptism. And then he turns and says this. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Say that out loud right there where you're at. Say, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God wants to ignite the believer with the fire of his Spirit. Now, Jesus operated under the power and the leadership of the Holy Ghost from Luke chapter 4 on. And you can read about it all through the Gospels, the miracles that he did. There was something about the igniting of the Holy Ghost, even in the life of the Son of God, that caused him to walk in the miraculous and do the things that he did. But by the time we get to the end of Jesus' ministry, he brings his disciples together and he makes a statement to them. And I want us to pick up right here in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, behold, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you, but I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, go to Jerusalem and wait for what I'm about to put on your life. There is something that I'm going to put on your life that you need. Now, we know this as the baptism or the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, how do I know this? Because when you get to Acts chapter 2, listen to this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues. The King James says cloven tongues, as of fire, and one set on each of them. In other words, a flame set on every single one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with the other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So see what John desired, what John prophesied would come as the result of Jesus. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What Jesus promised in Luke chapter 24, verse number 49, the fulfillment of that happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And the Bible describes the fulfillment of this as tongues of fire set on each of them. I want to put up that scripture again. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 3 with me. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. Say that out loud where you're at. One sat on each of them. In other words, every single person who was in that upper room, who obeyed the divine command of the Lord Jesus in Luke 24, 49, to go to that upper room and wait till they were endued with power from on high, every single one of them had a flame that ignited their soul. So today what I want to do is I want to talk about something that is extremely vital, extremely important in the life of every believer. But it is something that many believers have never experienced before, even though it's a free gift for them to have and to experience. And that is tongues of fire. Today, I want to talk about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on the life of the believer in this experience that we call the baptism or the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. We know that it is a subsequent experience. I've already taught all this, that it is after salvation. It's another experience in the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes on you, in you. But there's another experience where the baptism of the Holy Spirit can come upon you. And the Bible describes it as fire setting on each person. But the scripture says it is a tongue of fire. In other words, it does something to your tongue. Now, I know many of you today that are watching me, you have heard of this thing called speaking in other tongues. Some of you are totally confused about it. Some of you have no idea. You've never experienced it. Some of you have been taught that it has been of the devil and satanic. Well, today what I want to do is I want to teach you for just a moment what the Bible says about this thing called tongues of fire. Why in Acts chapter 2 did a tongue of fire set on each one of them? And then verse number 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why speak in tongues? Well, you see this pattern that is mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, in multiple places of the scripture. If there wasn't a pattern for this, in other words, if we didn't see people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and then speaking in other tongues in more places in the Bible, then we could just, you know, lay up this Acts 2, 1 through 4 experience as a one-off in Scripture, and we would be hard-pressed to build a doctrine or a thought or a theology around this experience and say that this is what happens when people get ignited, that they speak in tongues. But in Acts chapter 2, notice again the pattern. I want to read it again. We're going to put it on the screen for you. When the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on each of them. They all began to speak, the Bible says, with others' tongues when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a whole group of people out there that says, well, okay, Pastor, that happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says that I believe it. It happened, but that's the only time that it happened, and so therefore I don't need it. Well, that's not true, because if you look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 39, Peter, talking about this experience of Acts 2, 1 through 4, said, this promise is to you, to your children, to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. In other words, what just happened, what John or what Malachi talked about in Malachi 3, prophesying a forerunner, what John prophesied would happen when the Lord would pour out his Spirit on you, Peter comes along and says, this experience that just happened and was prophesied isn't just for us, it's for everybody who will call on the name of the Lord, everybody who is born again. Now, the real question is this a pattern all through the Scripture? And the answer to that is yes. Look with me in the book of Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse number 44 through 47. Watch what happens when the Gentiles. Now, in Acts chapter 2, it was all Jews. Now we're in Acts chapter 10. This is Cornelius and the Gentiles coming to the faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse 44, Acts 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So again, notice in Acts chapter 2, all Jews in an upper room, the circumcision, the baptism of the Holy Spirit falls on them. Everybody speaks in tongues. Peter stands up, Acts 2:39 says, this isn't just for us, this is for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, the first Gentile believer to come into the faith, he and his household. Notice the Bible says, while Peter was speaking with them, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and filled them. And he said, we know that they received the same thing that we got in Acts chapter 2, because we heard them speak with tongues, verse number 46, we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So notice, we see this pattern again developing through the Scripture. This isn't a one-off. This isn't just a Jewish thing. Now it's a Gentile thing, all nations. And we see this repeated again in Acts chapter 19. So let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse number 1 through 6 here. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples there. Now notice, these are disciples here. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Again, ladies and gentlemen, notice Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit falls, the believers speak in tongues. Tongues set upon each of them. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, Peter said, this isn't just for us, this is for everybody. Acts chapter 10, here comes the Gentiles. How do we know the Gentiles got the same thing they got in Acts chapter 2? They received Christ, and then the Bible says the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues. And then they were water baptized, right? And then, Acts chapter 19, here's another group of Gentiles, Ephesians. The Bible calls them disciples. They had believed on the Lord, but they had not experienced this other work, this additional work of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, when they received, they spoke in tongues as well. In fact, did you know that at the Jerusalem Council in the book of Acts, whenever they were arguing about whether or not the Gentiles were saved, just like the Jews had the same thing the Jews had, the evidence that they presented to say the Gentiles had received the same thing was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. What I'm trying to show you today is that when God ignites the believer with the power of the Holy Ghost, the scriptural pattern is that they speak with other tongues. You say, well, what are you trying to say, Pastor Shane? I'm trying to say that God wants you to be ignited with the power of the Holy Ghost and wants to give you the ability to speak in a heavenly language. Now, right here is where people are going to differ with me, and some people are going to resist this, and they're going to just say, oh, Pastor Shane, don't you know what the Trinity is? Well, look right here. I want to put something on the screen right now for you, and I want you to look at what I'm about to say. It's going to sound sacrilegious, but you need to pay attention to it. Notice what I'm going to say here. The Trinity is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now the reason, and I want them to keep that on the screen for a moment, the reason I'm putting that in front of you is because here's the way we teach the Trinity in the modern evangelical movement, is that it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Bible. The Holy Spirit is no longer working and doing the things that He did in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. That all passed away with the dying out of John, the last apostle. Now, I'm going to put something else on your screen here for you, and I want you to notice this. Notice this is the difference between cessationism versus something called continuationism in theology. Cessationism basically is a Protestant doctrine that says that spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues, prophecy, healing, all of this ceased with the end of the apostolic age. Again, the dying out of the last apostle John. Continuationism, however, is the belief that the spiritual gifts that were experienced in the Bible have continued and do continue to this present age. Specifically, those that are called signs gift, such as tongues and prophecy and other sign gifts. Now, where do we fall theologically? Again, the Trinity is not just God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still working today. Folks, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what I'm trying to show you right now is we are continuationist in our view, our approach to Scripture. We believe that everything the Bible says that God can do it and still is doing it today. If you don't believe that, then what you need to do is take your Bible and just tear out all kinds of pages, and you'll find out that when you get to the end of all of this, things that God no longer does, you don't have a Bible that's very substantial at all. You have to, as a believer, believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is still moving on the earth today as He did in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, and on and on. You can go through Corinthians and Romans and other passages. He is still moving. Our God is alive and moving. And whatever happened in the early church is able to happen in your life today. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to give you three reasons that you need to seek and believe God to put a tongue of fire on you and for you to believe for the ability to speak with other tongues. Here we go. Number one, point number one. Why do I need to speak in tongues? Because, folks, it is scriptural. It is scriptural to speak in tongues. Now, I give you the experiences in Acts chapter 2 and following, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. I've shown you the pattern is there. But let me give you some more scriptures. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1 and 2. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now listen, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mystery. Listen to me, folks. It's scriptural to speak in tongues. Paul, in the Corinthian church, says when a person speaks to tongues, he's speaking to God. Now, if it was demonic, if it was not biblical, the Apostle Paul would have basically said, stop that speaking in tongues. We don't need to do that anymore because we have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Bible. But that's not what he said. In fact, he tells us we need to speak in tongues. Now, when you study the book of Corinthians, there's going to be somebody first that's out there watching saying, well, hold it, 1 Corinthians 14 is dealing with tongues in the public setting, in the church setting, and somebody giving a message in tongues. So let me make a statement to you need to write down right now, and this is this. There's a difference between the gift of tongues and the grace of tongues. The gift of tongues and the grace of tongues. The gift of tongues is the gifting that God will use in a public setting through tongues and interpretation of tongues. The grace of tongues, however, is what was experienced in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Where the Holy Spirit comes on the life of a believer. Now listen to me. The gift of tongues might not set on everybody. But the grace of tongues is for everybody who believe on the name of the Lord and call upon Him. This was what Peter was talking about in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Everybody can have the grace of tongues. Now the reason I'm saying this is because there's a lot of people that are watching me, so hold it. Not everybody is going to speak in tongues. Paul goes on down there and said, do all speak with tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at the end of the passage? The answer to that, no. Not everybody will operate in the gift of tongues. However, the pattern of the scripture is that everybody that is born again can have the grace of tongues. So don't use the excuse, well, I don't have the gift of tongues. We're not talking about the gift of tongues today. We're talking about the grace of tongues. See, here's what I've learned. That is, if you get the grace for something, you'll eventually get the gift for something. You need the grace of tongues so that God in the future can give you the gift of tongues. Now, let's take this a little further. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 14 through 18. Paul said, if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I'll pray with the spirit. I'll also pray with my understanding. I'll sing with the spirit. He's talking about in tongues. I'll also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the informed say amen at the giving of your thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed, give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. So what the Apostle Paul is teaching here is it's okay to pray in tongues. It's also okay to sing in tongues. It is. What he's saying is when we come to a corporate setting, it's better that when a person gives a message in tongues and there's an interpretation. Now, he is not forbidding the use of tongues in the corporate setting as a congregation praying. Now, how do I know that? Because when the grace of tongues came in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, everybody was praying in tongues at the same time, and there wasn't necessarily an interpreter, and nobody, the Apostle Paul or Peter, nobody stood up and said, hold it. Stop speaking in tongues because there's not an interpreter. That is not what happened. What Paul is teaching is that when we come together, and we do have times that everybody's praying in tongues, there are times that everybody might be singing in the Spirit. But what he's saying is that there are special times when there's a gift of tongues and an interpretation of tongues, and it adds a level of worship to us because everybody can be edified. Because everybody now understands what a certain person is saying. So look at me. Don't shut off the grace of tongues in a corporate setting just because you want the gift of tongues in the corporate setting. Boy, this is so good right here. I want to jump up and run down the aisle. Here's what I hear people say all the time. We have two camps. We have people say, well, the grace of tongues isn't for today anymore, so therefore, nobody's going to speak in tongues. Then there's the camp that says, well, we believe the grace of tongues is for today, but don't use the grace of tongues in the public worship experience. Well, that's not what Paul was forbidding. He was not forbidding it at all in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, no, there's times that we might all sing in the Spirit. together. There's times we might all, he's talking about in a church service. But what he's saying is there's a difference when the gift of tongues comes forth. There needs to be an interpretation of the gift of tongues in the corporate setting. So in the corporate setting, you might have the grace of tongues flowing and the gift of tongues flowing. Or you might have the gift of tongues flowing and the grace of tongues isn't flowing. What I'm simply saying is when we come to church, we should have a tongue of fire. In your private time, you should also have a tongue of fire. Now let me finish this first point up with it being scripture, with this scripture right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 39. Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, do not forbid the speaking with tongues." Now he's talking about in the corporate setting, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Say that out loud with me. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. It is wrong for a pastor to forbid a genuine, now I'm not talking about something that's false fire, a genuine, authentic expression of the grace of tongues or the gift of tongues. Paul says, don't forbid that because you need both of them in your personal life. So why should I speak in tongues? Number one, it's scriptural. It's scriptural to speak in tongues. Number two, here's the second reason you need to have a tongue of fire is because it's beneficial. It's beneficial. There are benefits to speaking in tongues. Now, I could go down a long list of them. Like, for example, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says when we pray in tongues, we speak mysteries to God. Paul said it in Corinthians 2. We speak mysteries to God. In other words, this is a language between you and heaven, you and God the Father. Nobody else can understand it. Not even the devil himself can comprehend what you're praying. This is a mystery between you and God. I'm talking about the grace of tongues, not the gift of tongues in a service. The grace of tongues comes on you. When you pray in tongues, you pray directly to the Father. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit prays through you. There's no more perfect prayer, no more powerful prayer than a believer who prays in the grace of tongues, because it is the Holy Spirit praying through you. But outside of that, there are some other pretty incredible benefits for praying in tongues. Here's one, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. In other words, Paul is saying that if you speak in tongues, edify means to build up. Just like you go down to the local gym and you lift weights and you run and you exercise to make your body strong, Paul says when a believer under the grace of tongues prays in tongues, it's like he's exercising his spiritual man and he's making it stronger. Well, no wonder there's so many weak believers in the body of Christ. Nobody's praying in tongues. We're weak. We're not building ourselves up. We're not edifying ourselves. You see, you need to pray in tongues because it is the exercising of your spirit man, and it makes your spirit man stronger. What about this one? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now notice, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice that phrase, in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, we know Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 as the passage that talks about the weapons of our warfare. One of the weapons of the warfare we never talk about is this thing called praying in the Spirit. That is, praying in other tongues, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. So why do I need to pray in tongues? Well, number one, it edifies me. It builds me up. It strengthens my inner man. That's the reason I pray in tongues, Paul said, more than y'all. Listen, you ought to walk around in your private time just praying in tongues. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. The Bible says when you pray, your understanding is unfruitful. What that means is you can go about using your natural mind to do all your work and still pray in the Holy Spirit because it's a spiritual thing. So it would literally won't interrupt you. It actually might give you more focus to pray in the Holy Ghost and do your work. It edifies you. It builds you up. Number two, it's a weapon. It's a weapon of warfare. It's like throwing a javelin towards your enemy from a long ways off. Let me give you another one. Jude verse 20 says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it builds you up. But one of my favorite benefits of praying in tongues is found in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says when we pray in tongues that it unifies us. Now listen to what Zephaniah said about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. He said, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. Look at me right now. Whenever you pray in tongues, whenever we pray in tongues, it brings unity, not division. It brings unity, not division. So why should I pray in tongues? Well, it's a hotline to heaven. Number two, it's a powerful prayer that prays the will of God. Number three, it edifies me. It builds me up. Number four, it's a weapon of warfare. And number five, it unifies the body of Christ. It doesn't divide us. That's interesting to me because it seems that tongues are the number one thing that divides us today, when actually speaking in other tongues brings unity to the body of Christ. Let me give you the third and final thing you need to know about tongues. Number one, we said it is scriptural. Number two, we said it's beneficial. Here's the third thing I want to talk about today. It's optional. It's optional. You don't have to be saved, or you don't have to speak in tongues, rather, to be saved. Tongues, speaking in tongues, is optional. Let me read a scripture to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 14 through 15. Paul said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. Notice again, I will also pray with the understanding. Notice again, I will sing with the spirit. Again, I will also sing with the understanding. Look at this. This is so interesting to me. Five times here we have an I will statement. It starts with if. That's an I will statement. Verse 15 is an I will statement. Again, another I will statement. Another I will statement. Another I will statement. Five I will statements. Isn't that interesting? Because when you go to the book of Isaiah, five times Satan said, I will ascend above God. I'll dethrone God. Your will is a powerful thing. Here's the truth. The truth is, this is scriptural. This experience is scriptural. I don't care what other people say about it. I know what the Bible says about it. It's scriptural. It's beneficial. Every believer should want to do it. But it's also optional. This is something that you have to decide is for you right now, that it's a gift that Jesus died to give you, and you have to decide that you want it. You have to be hungry. You have to be thirsty for righteousness. Whatever God has for you. And you have to simply be open enough to say, Lord, I will. I will. Again, listen to what he said. For if I pray. That's a big if there. Nobody's going to force you to pray in tongues. You have to pray in tongues. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. All of these are I will things. See, if you engage, this is so good. If you engage in any spiritual gift, if you experience anything great in God, it'll have to be you saying, I will. Now, the number one thing that keeps people from receiving what I'm talking about today is a lack of their will. I would say there's two things that keep people from receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Number one is ignorance. They don't know what I just taught you today, that it's scriptural. They don't know how beneficial it is. They just don't understand it. There's so much craziness taught in the church world today. And ignorance is not bliss. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know how many benefits that we miss out on because we're just ignorant to the fact of what they could do for us and how to receive it? So most people don't receive it because of ignorance. Secondly, most people don't receive it because they just don't have the will to do it. They're just not open to it. You see, Jesus died to give you this. Just as much as He died to heal you, just as much as He died to save you, just as much as He died to deliver you, just as much as He died to prosper you, Jesus died to empower you with the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning. John the Baptist, the great forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, man, I want that. Jesus said, I got to be baptized by you, John. John said, no, I want your baptism. I know that He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John had foresight and saw what the Holy Spirit was going to do in the life of the believer. He wanted it. The real question is, why did John want it and you don't? Why did John want it and you don't? Well, I've settled this issue a long time ago in my life. I want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know many of you today, because I've been teaching, something's been stirring in you, and God is setting a fire on you right now. And you say, but I want that. I want to pray in tongues. I want to pray in tongues. I want to have the grace of tongues for my life. How do I get it, Pastor? It's super simple. Super simple. You've heard me say this before if you listen to me at all. First of all, if you can breathe, you can receive. There's a scripture that says Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, receive the Holy Ghost. If you can breathe, you can receive. You're a candidate. It's not just for some, it's for all. Number two, you've got to just yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you've already got, if you're born again, you've already got the Holy Ghost on the inside. What you're asking God for is another experience. So this is not about trying to get Him to come in. This is about releasing what is on the inside of you. That's the reason the Bible describes it as rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. Right? This is about releasing what's in you. So you don't have to work for it. You don't have to struggle for it. The Holy Ghost is already on the inside. This is just another glorious gift and experience that you can have in God. So all you got to do to receive is just say with a sincere heart, Lord Jesus, I believe that this gift is for me right now, and I'm believing You to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And ask Him to set a tongue of fire on you like He did in Acts 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Believe that it is happening and just receive it. This is like any other spiritual gift. Just receive it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to struggle for it. Just receive it. Now, as you're right there and with those hands lifted, if you're trying to receive right now, as you just lean into the power of the Holy Ghost, what's going to happen is the anointing is going to come upon you. You're going to feel the presence of God be tangible on your life. And then what you're going to do is you're just going to open your mouth and you're going to ask God to give you that prayer line. And then you're just going to open your mouth and you're going to pray in tongues. It's just as simple as this right here. Lord, I receive. I receive. Now, your tongue might not sound like that. In fact, what will happen is as you speak in tongues, you might sound a little bit like a baby at first because you're getting a new language. And so this language develops over time. I've been praying in this for over 35 years. You open your mouth and begin to pray. You say, but Pastor, what if I do something wrong? Here's what the Bible says. You don't have to worry about that. The Bible says in John, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, God's not going to give you something evil. You can't get something evil by asking for the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. The Holy Spirit protects you from getting anything evil because He wants you to have this and operate in this so much more than you could ever imagine. All you got to do to receive. You say, well, Pastor, how will I know that I really got it? And it's not just me talking. Because what's going to happen in one of these moments when you're with God and you're praying and you open your mouth and you speak and you begin to speak in the tongue, God's going to give you the utterance. You'll hear an utterance that'll just come to your mind. As you speak that out, here's what's going to happen. You're going to feel like power come on you. You're going to feel the presence of God come on you. When you feel the presence of God, open your mouth and be bold with it and don't hold anything back. Now, I have seen tens of thousands of people filled with, baptized with the Holy Ghost, just like you are right now, in their home, nobody else around, and just praying and worshiping God, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit come on them. Now, here's what I'm going to do. We're getting ready to close this broadcast. I'm going to pray for you, And I'm going to ask God right now to empower you with the Holy Ghost. And I want you to receive this tongue of fire to set on you. Are you ready? Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that is coming upon every person that is watching me right now. I rebuke the liar, the spirit of fear that comes to say this gift is not for today, that this is not for them. I say in the name of Jesus, you're not of the truth, you're a liar, and I rebuke that spirit off of you now. I pray that the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus himself, the one who came to baptize us with Holy Spirit and in fire, would right now begin to baptize people under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, begin to give them utterance with their tongue right now, and let them feel the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon them in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if I prayed for you, you feel the power of God, come on right now, open your mouth and begin to worship the Lord. Open your mouth and begin to let that river of living water flow out of your innermost being. Come on, that's it. The Holy Spirit is giving you your grace of tongues, the tongue of fire, right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Now listen to me. For those of you who've gotten it, if you didn't receive just right now, keep seeking the Lord. Keep asking the Lord for it, and just it'll come. If you did receive, you need to pray in that all the time. You need to spend every moment you have just walking around praying in tongues. Exercise that new spiritual gift that God's given you, and it'll set you on fire. Well, listen, I got to get out of here right now. We love you, and I'm so glad that you tuned in today. Thank you for tuning in. Do me a favor. Make sure you share this feed on your Facebook page. Help get as many people to watch this. We want to get as many people in the Upper Cumberland, around the world, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the answer for our time, for our day. Well, listen, right there where you're at, lift your hands. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord God make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord God lift up His countenance over your life and grant you His peace. I declare you're the head and not the tail. You're above only. You're not beneath. You're going over. You're not going under. God is for you. He is not against you. So go have a great week in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll see you all Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. right here at the Bend.